You might have to bear with me a little bit because of my throat. I've had some, allergies this week and sinus stuff, and which I never had until I moved out to this state. Not even when I lived here. But when I went to Ohio, apparently their air is just clean as can be. And then you come back here and I can't hardly make it, so. My throat starts to get tight, I gotta stop, because then my eyes start to water and other stuff starts to run and my throat closes up, so. Last week, does anybody remember what part of the Bible we talked about? It doesn't have a, well, it's not in the bulletin. I did that on purpose, because I know some of you cheat and peek, so. Anybody remember?
Ephesians.
Corinthians. Matthew. What did we focus on the most? The Holy Spirit? What scripture did we focus on the most last week? Anybody remember where it was? I'll give you a hint. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Thank you, Margaret. And what was that about? You guys need to take notes. You guys all have pens and pencils so you can take notes this week? Thank you, Peggy. The love of Jesus urges us to go forward. We talked about the ministry of reconciliation. Through the good news of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, those who believe in him can be reconciled with God, no longer separated from God by sin, but cleansed, sanctified by Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we are compelled, we are urged by the love of Jesus in our hearts to spread the good news to the unreconciled through our actions and words. Remember, the main point was that we are God's ambassadors for his ministry of reconciliation for creation. Since sin has separated God from creation, we are his ambassadors, cleansed by the blood of Jesus and urged forward, compelled to go and do that work by the love of Jesus that's in our hearts. Not by our own desires, not by our own love, but by the love of Jesus that is in our hearts. That's why we go forth and we preach the good news. Now, what gives us the right to be these ambassadors? Now, I think of a situation, you think of like your best friend, say you go out and you party and you do all this stuff, and maybe you've known somebody like this, but then the next day he's changed and all of a sudden he's preaching to you about reconciliation, about the love of Jesus and how you need Jesus, and you're looking at this person and you're like, wasn't it just yesterday, last night we were out partying and this morning you're standing, you're looking at me like, what gives you the right to do that? And that's really what it is for each and every one of us, because doesn't Paul talk about how when he's talking to the Corinthians, how he's calling them wretched, slanderers, just wicked, deceit, evil, malicious, envy, gossips. And says, and that's what some of you were. That's what all of you were. That's what we all were. And so we became sanctified by the blood of Jesus by believing in him. And after that, we are reconciled with God. So what gives us the right to be God's ambassadors? The blood of Jesus. There's a word that I'm looking for. It starts with an S. Who said it?
Sanctification.
Isaac said it. Isaac, were you in Sunday school last week?
Yep.
All right. That's good. The reason is sanctification. Has anybody ever heard of the word sanctification? If you have a King James Version, sanctification is in the New Testament a lot. In the NIV version, they swap out sanctification in most of the Bible, and they put in the words holy. Does anybody know the English definition for the word sanctification? What does it mean? Well, then I'll tell you. The English definition for the word sanctification is to make holy. That's the English definition. Now, if you go to the Greek of what the original was in that word that we've put sanctification in, does anybody know the Greek translation? Probably not if you didn't know the English translation. The Greek translation is a little bit different. It's separation, setting apart for a sacred purpose. So it's a little different from just being made holy, but it's a separation. It's a description of what being holy is, setting apart for a sacred purpose. So holy kind of embodies that definition. It's basically separating man from sin and setting him apart for God's sacred purpose. Sanctification. Now, I think sanctification is really neat. I've been studying it for the past couple weeks. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. Now, Hebrews, we know, is a book that's basically talking about Christ as the high priest. In chapter 9, verse 11, it talks about the blood of Christ. When Christ came as a high priest, so it's basically making the case for Jesus Christ. Chapter 10, verse 1 says, "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me with burnt offerings and sin offerings. You were not pleased.' Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.' First he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made.' Then he said, 'Here I am, I have come to do your will.' He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, 'This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds.' Then he adds, 'Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more.' And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." That is just some of the coolest scripture in the Bible. The King James Version in verse 10 here would have said, instead of holy, it would have said, "By which we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." NIV says, "And by that we have been made holy through the sacrifice." So here King James says sanctified. And also verse 14 is another one of my favorite verses in that passage. It says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." So sanctified actually may not be a word you're really that familiar with, but we're all familiar with the word holy, right? Right? Right. Okay, man, we got to get into this. What'd you say?
Why don't you go ahead and define it anyway?
Find what? Define holy? Sanctification. What we're getting into. Holy is being set apart, separated for a sacred purpose, which is what sanctification is. Okay, so these two verses here, "For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, and by which will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." This is the basis of our Christian faith, right? That Christ died one time, one offering, and through that we believe in him. Paul says in Romans 10:9 that if we believe with our hearts and confess with our mouths, that we're saved. Okay, that's the basis of our Christian faith, that Jesus died and rose again. His one sacrificial act was enough to sanctify us, to separate us from our sin in the eyes of the Lord, because that's what sanctification is. It's a separation from sin for a sacred purpose, God's purpose. And so we are separated from our sin in the eyes of the Lord forever, or as it says, once and for all. And it says in verse 12 that after his sacrifice, this high priest, Jesus Christ, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for the day when he will come back and make his enemies his footstool. It starts off the chapter talking about all those priests making all those sacrifices and how none of those sacrifices, the blood of bulls and goats, cannot atone for sins, but we did them as a reminder to remind us of our sin because of the law. And Jesus came and offered the true sacrifice. And by that sacrifice, we are sanctified and a whole lot of other things. Sanctified is just one of the coolest things that I have studied in the Bible. It feels so cool to know what God is doing, what he has done, and what he is doing in me. Okay, sanctification is a few different things. First off, sanctification that we're talking about here in Hebrews is that, and by that will, we've been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. We're sanctified by our position in Jesus Christ. Spiritually sanctified. Our spirit is the part of us that goes to eternity, whether up, whether down, or whichever way heaven and hell are. Our spirit is the part that lives on. Our spirit is what is sanctified when we are in Jesus Christ. It's nothing you could do. It's by grace alone, it's by grace and mercy that you are sanctified. Doesn't matter how old, doesn't matter how young, doesn't matter where you've been or where you're going. You're sanctified because you're in Jesus Christ. And it's that point that I was going to make that just left my mind. So, you're sanctified because you're in Jesus Christ and your spirit is separated. In God's mind, it says you are separated from your sins. So God sees you as you are, and that's what makes us sanctified. Our position in Jesus Christ, that point that I was going to make, was that little story about the friend who one day is out partying and the next day is trying to preach to you about Jesus Christ. He's been sanctified because of his position in Jesus Christ. That is it. Nothing else than he did than believe in Jesus Christ, accept him into his heart. And in God's eyes, he is now separated. His spirit is now separated from the world, reconciled with God. This sanctification allows us to live in the freedom of God's grace for his purpose. We said that sanctification was about being set apart for a sacred purpose. If God didn't set us apart, if he didn't sanctify us in his mind, in his eyes, we could not be free to go and do his purpose, could we? Which is what we talked about last week, which is the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is God's purpose for us, to reconcile him with all of creation. And it's this sanctification of being in Jesus Christ that allows us the freedom to do that. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8 is another awesome chapter in the Bible. One of my favorites, Paul is teaching about living life in the Spirit. Okay, now I said sanctification was a few different things. I said it's spiritual. We've been separated in God's eyes. Romans 8:22. Let's look at Romans 8:22-23. It says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Now the question that comes to mind about being sanctified, because we're sanctified because of our position in Christ, but there's still work to be done on us, isn't there? Because we're all still messy people. Paul's talking to the Corinthians when he calls them slanderers and wicked and all those things. That's what they were, but he's still preaching to them how to live holy. It doesn't just come. Yeah, we're set apart, but we're set apart in God's mind. Our spirit is set apart for our eternity. There's still sanctification to be done. There's still emotional sanctification to be done, and that's of the heart and that's of the mind. And Paul calls people in Romans chapter 8, here he's talking to the Romans, he says that you have to separate yourself. You have to have a mindset of living in the Spirit. Emotional, mental, your heart, your mind, we have to let God continue to work in us and sanctify us. So although we are set apart for our eternity, God still wants to work on us, continue to make us holy, right? That's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. We read that in Ephesians. We read that in 2 Peter. We read that in Romans 15, 16. The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. We know what the Holy Spirit is. That's that red, that direct line to God. The president's office, the Oval Office, has that red phone. You pick it up. I don't know who it goes to, but that's the only person that ever calls you on that phone. And the Holy Spirit is God talking to you through that line. The Holy Spirit is that direct connection with him. And just like we talked about in John chapter 15 about the vine and the branches, we have to continue to let God separate us mentally and emotionally from the world. Because we've been living in the world up to the time that we're saved, and it doesn't just happen like that. We have to let God continue to pull those roots up. John 15 says, Jesus says that I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. We're feeding from Jesus. Now we got to let God dress us. We got to let him pull the roots out of the world. We have to continue to be separated in how we act and how we live and what we feel. We start living by the Spirit. Chapter 8, Paul starts off with this whole basis of our Christianity. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. He shouldn't have to go on more than that, but because we're humans, because that's not the end, he goes on and he says, for what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. This is where he starts talking about living in the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. He's talking about those who are sanctified in Christ. Those, you can be in Christ and still be living by your sinful natures. There's supposed to be a change. I've been saved since I was 14 years old, but was I still living by my sinful nature? Did I have a mindset on the Holy Spirit? For many years, I still lived by my sinful nature. I took Jesus and, you know, like we talked about last week, stuck him kind of in the corner and melded him into my life instead of living, having a mindset on the Spirit. And so God continues to sanctify. Some would call it the refiner's fire. Continues to pull the roots off. Continues to prune off parts of us that are not good for us. And sanctification is physical. What Paul says in Romans 8:22 is that we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Our sanctification is not completed until Jesus either returns or we pass. We're sanctified by our position in Jesus Christ. We are continually to be set apart as God sanctifies us through his work of the Holy Spirit, helps us pull our roots out of the world, sets us apart more and more and more. And the sanctification is complete when we pass in the redemption of our bodies and we're adopted as his sons. See, if we actually read the scriptures, if we actually study the scriptures, there's a lot more to them than I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, isn't there? That is the basis of our faith. That is the greatest thing anybody can say. I am saved by Jesus Christ, I'm going to heaven. But we're foolish to think that we can stop there. God wants to continue to transform your mind and give you life in the Spirit, because we mentioned, what is life in the Spirit? Peace. An abundance. The way God intended life for be to us. When our sanctification is complete, we're going to be glorified. Paul goes on in verse 28, Romans 8, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. How does all of this work? You guys, you take the word glorified, and what do you usually, do we think of God glorifying us? No, we think of us glorifying God, but it says that God is going to glorify us. And how does all of this work? How does it work to be in Jesus Christ, but still be a human and still have a sinful nature and to become and to still be who we are, but yet God has set us apart in his mind? How does that work? Do we understand that God is not bound to the same rules of time that we are? Do you guys understand God is outside of time? Like, just twist your mind a little bit. How many times in the Bible does it talk about things that are predestined? We talked about it last week. We talked about how God has already put those encounters with Jesus out there for us, which the works which he has already predestined for us to do. And here he says, and those he predestined, he also called. God has seen your whole life. Do you understand that? God has seen your whole life. So even though our sanctification is not complete while we're on earth, we're in Jesus. God has seen our whole life. He knows that when we get to here, it's complete. And so we can be set apart to do his work on earth. That's how God's mind works outside of time. So many times we get so caught up in our rules and our regulations and in the things that we have to live by. Like, time is something that you cannot get away from yet, but you will, because eternity is forever. It's not time, isn't it? Doesn't that sound cool? Doesn't that sound pretty sweet? Who we are, who are we, that God would send his Son as a sacrifice for us? And not only do that, but continue to work with us, to give us the Holy Spirit as a seal, as a tool for God to work on us and help us to live a better life, to live a life that doesn't have as much pain. Yeah, there are still hard things for the Christian life. It doesn't just take away everything. The life in the Spirit, Paul says, is peace and abundance. As God pulls out those roots, as he refines us, we near the day where we will be redeemed, our bodies will be redeemed, our sanctification will be complete. And what's going to happen? You're going to be glorified. I just want to ask you guys, who goes out there and studies their Bible? Do you go home and not just read it, but study it? Do you look at the scriptures and go back and forth? Because all of this is in there. Guys, I did not go to seminary. I wasn't taught this by some person. All truth is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit, but you have to sit down and let the Holy Spirit work. Go home. Read your Bibles. These questions that I'm asking, you guys should know the answers to. You guys are responsible for you. I'm responsible for me and the messages that God gives me to do. We're all a part of the body. We all have that unique way to help someone that no one else could help them in that way. That's the way God designed it. But you guys, it is your job to go home and study. It is your job to get into the Word. It is your job to pray. It is your job to let God continue to sanctify you and grow you. This stuff shouldn't be new. If it is, it means we're not looking good enough. God loves you. And the more you get into the Bible, the more you will understand how awesome that love is and how awesome our God is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I feel your challenge this morning to let you reveal to me those truths and to spend the time to find more truths, like the truth of sanctification and how we are justified in Christ Jesus, but yet you still want to continue to sanctify our hearts and our minds and separate us from the world so that we can live a better life, not just so that we can be saved and then live through the world until we are completely redeemed. And we live, Father God, for you. We don't just live for the day of our eternity, but we live for your ministry so that others can have the same opportunities that we do. Same opportunity to be justified. Same opportunity to be redeemed as your sons and be co-heirs with Jesus Christ in heaven and sit alongside of him as your son. As we go and study this week, Father God, I pray that you would just reveal the things to us so that we may know how deep and how wide your love truly is. That we may understand a little bit more of your awesome plan and your awesome love for us. In your name we pray.